Good evening and welcome to Vespers tonight. This evening we once again celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord. And just a few notes before we begin. First of all, the first hymn should be hymn 172 rather than hymn 17. Please note that. Hymn 172. Please also note that following the versicles and Gloria Patri, we will join to sing Psalm 121. You'll see the directions for that in the bulletin. Let us begin our worship then with the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we've come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May be seated for our lesson. Our scripture reading for tonight is taken from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 14. And Jesus says to his believers, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. As we're coming near the end of the season of Epiphany, the theme of light certainly has made its way through so many things, starting with the wise men drawn to the manger of Christ by the bright light of the star. Isaiah, his reading stands out in Epiphany, "Arise, shine, your light has come." The hymns that we sing reflect this, "How lovely shines the morning star." And as Epiphany comes to an end, we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord, where we're told his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as radiant as the brightest light. Now, Jesus typically would cover up and hide his glowing glory, if you will. He shielded people from that as he lived and walked on this earth. But in this one instance of his transfiguration, he now allows people to have a glimpse, some people to have a glimpse of his radiancy. And along with the voice that comes from heaven declaring that he is God's son, the disciples drop with their faces to the ground. Sinful human beings in our fallen state, we are terrified of the glory of God and his presence. And this shows the necessity of why Christ, why the Son of God, had to take on this incarnation and clothe himself with human flesh, and in that sense hide his radiant glory that on that mountain he allowed to be seen. He knows that this would destroy us to see God in the fullness of his glory. We just couldn't take it. If you remember the story of Moses at the burning bush, even there as God approaches him, he has to shield his face. Isaiah, when he's called in Isaiah chapter 6, he gets a tiny glimpse of the glory of God and he calls out, "Woe to me, I am ruined." So the Son of God, when he comes into the world to work out the plan of our salvation, has to wrap himself in the form of human flesh in order to be approachable. But this dazzling, radiant, glowing Savior speaks to those who now believe and trust in him, his followers. And he refers to us throughout Scripture as children of light. We're the ones whom God the Holy Spirit has enlightened with the wonderful truth of the gospel, that we've known that the Savior who came and veiled himself in flesh has done this intentionally in order to ultimately go to the cross to make atonement for our sins. In fact, the next step after Jesus' transfiguration is he takes his disciples and heads now to Jerusalem. One of my seminary professors used to say, it's as if Jesus needed a battery charge right before he had to go and perform the great work of atoning for our sins. So Jesus now, talking to those who have come to love him and know him and appreciate his grace and know that because of what he's done, they have hope, the hope of heaven waiting for them, he now refers to us as children of light, and he speaks to us as belonging to this great kingdom of light that he comes to represent. And he talks to us here about, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good deeds. Now, we need to be very clear. The rest of Scripture, of course, makes it so clear to us that it's not our good deeds and the wonderful things we might do as Christians that get us to heaven. Christ alone is the one who has done that for us. But our Lord is reminding us that he and his kingdom, he may use the good deeds that we carry out as believers in him as a way to reach other people with the same wonderful gospel. In fact, Jesus speaks here very disparagingly of those who might take this wonderful faith, the light that we have in Christ, and foolishly hide it under a bushel basket. In other words, suppress the glow that it might give off. Such activity could possibly harm the cause of the gospel. One of the early church fathers said this. This is a very interesting quotation. A dull and darkened Christianity, a lethargic and apathetic group bearing the name of Christ, will create more unbelievers than all the books of heretics ever written. This is why Christ exhorts his saints of light, let your light so shine. Now, light will find its greatest impact in a place of darkness. Imagine a rancher that owns a big, beautiful ranch out in the middle of, let's say, Wyoming, but it's super dark at night, very dark, and he has strategically placed certain spotlights out on the property to highlight important areas and where he wants light to shine. Think of that, how God takes you as a believer in Christ and has strategically placed you as the light, as one who bears that light of Christ, places you in various places in his kingdom in order to shine the light on to others who are living in the darkness. One fact remains unchanged. This dark world, the unbelieving world, needs the light that you and I carry with us through faith in Christ. Jesus' words here could actually be translated to Christians. You and you alone are the light. If we don't shine with the gospel of our Savior, who will know about him? And so the transfigured Christ, who is the light of the world, also refers to you and me as children of the light. There's an evangelical purpose, an evangelistic purpose to your life of sanctification. How you live your life as a follower of this wonderful Savior has an evangelistic reach to it that can be used by God in order to draw others to that marvelous light of Christ. The Ilvesaker Hall, we call the YFAC, was named after Dr. Sigurd Ilvesaker. His father was also a Lutheran theologian, taught in a Norwegian Lutheran seminary, and he put together a book on the Gospels. And he says this, I love this as a commentary on this text. He says, "The world will not only hear beautiful words from the lips of the believers, but they will also see their good deeds," and then I love this, "which shows that an influence holds sway in their hearts." That's a great line. The lives that we live, lives of sanctification, that try to follow the will of God and show kindness and love and mercy to people, all of those wonderful good works, he says, when people get to know us and see that in our lives, he says that this, it shows that there's an influence that holds sway in our hearts. That's Christ. That's the gospel. So the deeds that we show, Jesus says, when we let our light so shine, may draw people to come and glorify God for the marvelous grace he's given us. So don't ever, what Jesus is really saying to you and me is, don't ever underestimate how the Holy Spirit might use your life of sanctification, especially in a generation that is just groping around in extreme darkness. I'm going to close with a story that kind of demonstrates this. Years ago, I arrived at a new call, and there was a young couple that had just gotten married not many months before, and I was talking to the young man about being married and things, and he said, "You don't know this about me yet, Pastor, but I was an unbeliever. I was an atheist a couple of years ago." And I said, "Oh." And I said, "How did that all come about that you're now a Christian?" And he said, "Well, I asked out this young lady," who was a Bethany student at the time, "I asked out this young lady, and she went out on a date with me, and I was just so caught up in what a wonderful person she was, and how careful she was with her words, how gracious she was, and how also careful she was with her body and things too." And he said, "I was really drawn to that, but then I went with her, maybe the first time, to meet her parents after we'd dated a while, and her parents were likewise the same, had such a wonderful Christian home, and had a family devotion and said a prayer afterwards." And he said, "I was just drawn to want to find out what in the world is in their minds and hearts that makes them act like this." And he said, "I quickly realized it was the gospel." And so, wonderful example of how, as Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, sometimes we may feel like we are these lone little lights out there in the darkness of this unbelieving world and even in our community and things. And sometimes we can feel a little bit, not so much on campus here, but kind of feel a little bit isolated out there in the world. But our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the very light of the world and who represents the light of heaven itself, he is the one that speaks to you and me as his children of light. And he also says about this faith that we possess when we hold on to him as our Savior, that the gates of hell, the place of darkness, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. How blessed we are to be one of those children of light. Amen. Please join me then in the Canticle hymn number 47.
Thank you. the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.